TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Artificial intelligence and the resurgence of nuclear power and uranium mining. A new argument is emerging in favor of using nuclear to cover the increased power demands of artificial intelligence. And, almost as an afterthought, fuel the green transition to solar and wind. Legislation in Congress, supported by the Biden administration, has already passed with bipartisan support as recently as June 2024. It is written to fund all stages of the cycle, from uranium mining to accelerated building and licensing of new nuclear power plants. Strangely, the mining industry has always prepared for the new market in uranium, and we all would have known had we attended their conferences. Here's an interview from the world's premier mineral exploration and mining convention in March 2024 in Toronto, Canada. Jeremy Safran interviews Amir Adnani, President and CEO of Uranium Energy Corp.
GITCO News special coverage of PDAC 2024 is brought to you by Gold Mining, Uranium Energy Corp., and Uranium Royalty Corp.
Hey everyone, welcome back to coverage of PDAC 2024. I'm Jeremy Safran with GITCO News. Now obviously, it's been quite the year in the uranium market, and it's just getting started. Our next guest is the CEO and President of Uranium Energy Corp., Amir Adnani. Thank you for joining us today.
It's good to be back with you.
I appreciate it. Yeah, you were on the show in December, and here we are a few months later. We're walking around in Toronto. I'm a little bit curious what's changed.
The reality is that the fundamentals for nuclear energy and uranium are the best that we have ever seen. And the market is very much tight in terms of the physical tightness of supply. There is a supply deficit, both globally and particularly in the US, where we're focused with bringing on new uranium production with uranium energy. But just take the US market, for example. The US market will consume 47 million pounds of uranium in 2024. And current production is around 1 million pounds. That is a physical shortage, right? And that's what's driving these uranium prices to a 15-year high. And uranium prices could really go to their all-time highs, which would be closer on an inflation-adjusted basis to $200 a pound. So beyond that, I think the reality is, because this is the best fundamentals we have ever seen, I think we're in a very exciting new period for uranium after about 11 years of an awfully long bear market. Yeah. And we got to remember that end of it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk to me a little bit about bringing mines and restarting them back in the US. It's such an important cause. People don't realize you can't just go and find uranium.
The biggest challenge facing the industry today that everyone's talking about is really shortage of skilled labor and the personnel side of it, because the industry was dormant for so long. And just the timeline it takes to get permits.
Right.
Okay. So that's where the production that we're restarting this year has such a competitive advantage. We're taking an in-situ recovery mine that was in operations until 2018, and we're restarting it. So to begin with, this is a brownfield project. This is already built. The uranium that we could take out of our Christensen Ranch mine will be processed at a facility, a processing facility, which is built already. And so, A, we don't have to go through that construction phase. We don't have to go through all the risk that may come with initial construction. We don't have to wait for permits to be issued, they're already issued. And the bulk of the team that was there in 2018 operating these mines are with our company today. And so we also address the personnel side of it. Now we're still gonna be hiring and training additional personnel, but we have some really core advantages with the setup that we have in Wyoming that's gonna facilitate this fast restart this year. And it's also the fact that it's in-situ recovery. This is solution mining as opposed to open pit underground mining. And solution mining is much faster timelines to production, and the capital intensity is the lowest in the business. Costs are low and the environmental footprint is very small. So these are, again, really important advantages that sets what we're trying to do apart in Wyoming and Texas. Now, our company, as you know, has conventional operations and projects in Saskatchewan, right, which we'll look to advance and develop as well. But the initial focus with fast and low capital intensity production will be in Wyoming and Texas.
Now, 2023 was a year of geopolitical strife everywhere. I mean, we've had wars. If there's a ban on Russia uranium and what's happening in Kazakhstan, do you think North America has an advantage here to get ahead?
I would go as far as saying that the ban on Russian uranium imports is most likely a when as opposed to an if. Right. And I believe we'll also see funding approved by the U.S. government for the Nuclear Fuel Security Act. That's also probably a when, not an if. And the bipartisan support that nuclear energy and uranium is enjoying right now is really unprecedented. If we go back to cycles and we look at the 1970s and 1980s, the U.S. led the way globally for uranium mining. It was number one in the world. And nuclear fuel was the specialty that the U.S. was able to export and really be the top player in. Since the end of the Cold War, this leadership position was given away, in fact, to Russia. And today, I think what we're seeing is really a repatriation of the nuclear fuel cycle to the U.S. That's what there's bipartisan agreement on. And we will see that the geologic potential and the substantial history that the U.S. has, and having been number one in uranium mining before, is going to really pave the way to make sure that this growth period that we have in front of us in the U.S. Is going to benefit really from this history of this endowment that that we have in terms of both the traditions and the geologic potential and the longstanding history. All that is going to play a really big role. So there's nothing but growth in front of us in U.S. and North American uranium production.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, the cost of capital, especially for junior miners, people that actually want to get started, is so expensive. And so if the government comes in and puts some incentives there, what do you think that'll do for the industry? Are we behind? Should this have happened 2 years ago?
I think you could always look back and say we're arguably behind. But I think what's driving it this time isn't just the government policy. I think the government policy is very constructive and very much needed. But the other thing that's happening in North America, and then again, the U.S. in particular, more than any other place, is the growth in artificial intelligence and the energy demands of artificial intelligence and the number of data centers that are projected to be built and have to be built to understand kind of what the energy landscape is going to be. Right. And that's actually been a very positive development for nuclear energy, because many companies, from Microsoft to Amazon and to Google, have looked at the idea of small modular reactors being co-located next to data centers in order to power them consistently for a very long period of time. And that's where we're seeing unprecedented activity in the U.S. for small modular reactors. In fact, we expect another $1 billion of funding potentially for SMRs in the U.S. in the package that the House is currently deliberating. And not just that, you look at Bill Gates' company, TerraPower, that has received funding, is advancing projects in Wyoming. We, in fact, have signed a memorandum of understanding with them to supply their future uranium needs. Sam Altman from ChatGPT is also behind his version of a small modular reactor. The bottom line is that public power utilities in the U.S. cannot keep up with the energy demand of new data centers moving forward. If you look at the number of GPUs that NVIDIA is going to keep selling every quarter moving forward, and correlate that to energy need, you're going to realize there's a huge gap there. And baseload, clean, large-scale energy from nuclear is the solution here. And there's now increasing amount of studies coming out that are showing just unimaginable appetite that AI-driven data centers have that we simply don't have a plan for. And the best plan and solution are these SMRs. And that's why, even if you look at the Nuclear Energy Institute, they're expecting that nuclear energy capacity in the U.S. can double in the next 20 years, driven primarily by small and advanced modular reactors.
Interesting. I mean, there is an opportunity for these SMRs. Let's educate the audience a little bit to change the world, even in places like Africa where power is not accessible. I'm curious, when we look at the R&D into SMRs and the small modular reactors, say that nine times, have we went too slow on this? Like, are we close to having some of these operational and starting to become more mainstream?
I think we're at a very exciting inflection point for these in the coming years. The amount of capital investment that has gone into SMRs in the last 4 or 5 years has really accelerated, and it continues to accelerate. We're again seeing a whole new category of players enter that arena, we're seeing Silicon Valley get behind it. As you heard me say, it's not utility companies leading the way with SMRs. It's Bill Gates, Sam Altman, and Elon Musk. It's a whole other category of entrepreneurs with fairly deep pockets, with other strategic players like the US Department of Energy that are getting involved, and companies like Rolls-Royce in the UK. And so again, I think like most things, if you invest and gain industrial scale, it increases the probability of gaining traction. And that's the inflection point that we're at with SMRs and advanced reactors. It's a game changer. It's an absolute game changer because larger traditional reactors that generate a gigawatts of electricity were historically a great way of powering large population centers and large cities. Mm-hmm. But for industrial activity, we need a different capacity factor. You don't need a gigawatts. You may need 50 megawatts to 100 megawatts. You're seeing not just data centers, but companies like Dow Chemical have announced plans to put SMRs next to their petrochemical facilities to power those activities, or in the oil sands in Alberta, or mining projects that are in remote areas that are not connected to the grid. So there are a variety of large-scale industrial activities, the least of which is space travel, which is how Mr. Musk plans to get to Mars, is going to be all through nuclear energy, which is how space travel has been powered for the for decades. So these are the very cool applications of nuclear energy that we don't talk about and haven't talked about that can transform the world so positively.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going very, very quickly. I'm curious over the next 2 years, say, I mean, we don't have a crystal ball here, but you're involved in this industry in many, many different roles. Where's your dream here? Where would you like to see nuclear in the next 3 years?
I think nuclear has always been a foundational solution to baseload, reliable, emission-free energy. And we have seen increasing trends from Japan to the US of the public opinion poll becoming favorable and supportive of nuclear energy, which has also been a problem and a challenge for nuclear energy for many years. And so I think if we come to the realization that the science and technology and the facts behind nuclear energy absolutely are critical to supporting our needs as humanity, as we continue to expand population, as we continue to grow our carbon footprint, which we got to get under control.
Right.
It's an excellent carbon mitigation tool because it's emission free, while giving us the big abundant energy that we need for all these amazing things that we're doing in society every day, right? So I'm just so excited about what nuclear energy can be as a solution for us. And I think in the coming years, it hopefully will be, again, not just this growing acceptance, but to see more reactors get built, large or small, around the globe. And look, as we speak, there are hundreds and hundreds of reactors at a planning stage.
Yeah.
There are over 60 under construction. And so the trend and the facts and the numbers and what's being proposed, it's all heading in that direction. At COP28 in Dubai, we went from a pledge globally from countries, instead of doubling nuclear energy by 2050 to tripling nuclear energy by 2050. I'm so excited about everything that we're seeing.
Yeah, what a fascinating time. It's going to be a fun year.
Should be a fun year.
Amir Adnani joining us, of course, CEO and President of Uranium Energy Corp. Thanks again for coming on.
Likewise, thank you.
I appreciate you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Jeremy Safran here at Kitco News, and we are at PDAC 2024. We'll have more coverage coming up after the break.
That was Amir Adnani, interviewed in March 2024 at the world's premier mineral exploration and mining convention in Toronto, Canada. Adnani mentioned legislation in the U.S. that the House is deliberating. Well, it has already been passed, almost unnoticed by U.S. media.
The U.S. Senate has passed the ADVANCE Act, now awaiting President Biden's signature. This bill aims to expedite the development of next-generation nuclear reactors and support aging ones, enhancing the U.S.'s leadership in nuclear energy. It directs the Department of Energy to streamline export approvals for American nuclear technology, reduce regulatory costs for advanced reactors, and provide deployment incentives. Additionally, it tasks the Nuclear Regulatory Commission with efficient licensing for small reactors at brownfield sites and former fossil fuel locations, and streamlines environmental reviews.
And since this announcement was made, Biden has signed the ADVANCE Act into law. And what about the small nuclear reactors mentioned here? They only exist so far in China and Russia, and as propellants for Navy ships or long-range spacecraft. Wikipedia says the U.S. Department of Energy has estimated the first small nuclear reactors in the United States would be completed by NuScale Power around 2030. But this deal has since fallen through after the customers backed out due to rising costs. So Bill Gates was seen with a shovel in Wyoming breaking ground for a small nuclear reactor he will build with $1 billion from his own money. Linda Pence-Gunter commented on the passage of the ADVANCE Act. She founded Beyond Nuclear in 2007. Beyond Nuclear works to support efforts to phase out nuclear power in favor of safer energy choices to address the climate crisis.
The ADVANCE Act will gut nuclear safety and keep the nuclear Navy happy. Hardly anyone on Capitol Hill opposed it. Here with our first feature dealing with it is Linda Pence-Gunter with this week's Nuclear Hot Seat Hot Story.
Oh boy, where to begin? There seems to be a compunction on Capitol Hill and in the White House these days to do precisely the wrong thing about almost everything. Pipelines approved, endless wars funded, asylum seekers thwarted, the list goes on. The endless wars are essential, of course, because they are needed to feed the voracious and murderous greed of arms manufacturers, many of which also produce nuclear weapons. They carry some of the biggest money bags on Capitol Hill, and their puppets there are only too willing to reward them. And in our world of anti-nuclear activism, it's the insistence on funding and promoting nuclear power against all the empirical evidence that demonstrates this is the worst possible choice for climate mitigation, assuming we conduct a successful phase out of fossil fuels, which should be a given, but isn't necessarily. Campaigning against nuclear power can be dispiriting given what we're up against, and we've certainly had a bad few weeks. First, the ridiculously named ADVANCE Act was passed 88-2 in the US Senate, sending us not forward, but back into the deep recesses of the 20th century. The ADVANCE Act emasculates what's left of any safety oversight of the already lapdog US Nuclear Regulatory Commission, ensuring that regulations are lightened and the licensing process is sped up and, well, safety be damned. 88-4, 2 against. Yes, we have precisely two allies in the entire Senate, and their names are Ed Markey and Bernie Sanders. If you feel like thanking them, please do. In the House of Representatives, the same bill was shoehorned into something called a Bill to Amend the Federal Fire Prevention and Control Act of 1974. Helping firefighters, that's all good, right? Of course, absolutely. But this sly maneuvering meant the House quietly passed the Senate ADVANCE Act while appearing to support firefighters. An overwhelming 393 members of the House voted for it, almost evenly split between Republicans and Democrats. There was only one principled voice in all this, and it belonged to Rashida Tlaib, the congresswoman from Michigan, who voted present. She said, "I voted present in objection to this ridiculous decision to tie the reauthorization of vital firefighting programs for our communities together with poison pills that undermine nuclear safety and were strongly opposed by leading grassroots environmental organizations," she told the Hill newspaper in a written statement. And there you have the big difference in Tlaib, someone who actually listens to grassroots organizations instead of corporate lackeys. Go ahead and thank her too. Contrast her with the preposterous cheerleading statements made after the Senate passed the ADVANCE Act. "A major victory for our climate and American energy security," crowed Senator Tom Carper. But Sheldon Whitehouse, another Democrat, had to go one better, calling it a win for the planet. He probably has to think big because he represents the smallest state in the country. That's Rhode Island for those listening overseas. The ADVANCE Act was followed by the Department of Energy announcing it would donate $900 million of our money towards small modular reactor development. Cue Jennifer Granholm, the witless Secretary of Energy, who called that decision and nuclear power a key pillar of our nation's transition to a safe and secure energy future. What SMRs are actually the key to are the door of the nuclear weapons industry, and especially the nuclear navy, who can't live without the supply chain of technical know-how from the civil sector. On the positive side, despite the continued bluster about restarting the closed Palisades, Michigan nuclear reactor that was shut down almost 2 years ago, there is growing skepticism that this will be technically feasible, no matter how much money the state and federal government pour into trying, said retired nuclear safety engineer Dave Lockbaum when speaking with the Toledo Blade, and who worked for many years at the Union of Concerned Scientists, where his wry sense of humor became legendary. Palisades has about the same chance of restarting as I do of winning the lottery, and I don't even buy lottery tickets. I'm Linda Pence-Gunter with Beyond Nuclear, reporting for Nuclear Hot Seat, and that's this week's hot story.
That was Linda Pence-Gunter on the weekly radio program and podcast, Nuclear Hot Seat. Many thanks for the clip. Meanwhile, Elon Musk, along with the most notorious billionaires, is driving the charge for nuclear power to fuel data centers for artificial intelligence. Here is his podcast, The Elon Musk Evolution.
Elon Musk says nuclear power and AI are the perfect marriage. By 2045, Elon Musk believes the amount of electricity consumed in the United States will have tripled. He predicts a power deficit in 2 years that might impede the energy-hungry development of artificial intelligence. I can't emphasize enough. We need more electricity. However much electricity you think you need, more than that is needed. And so in today's episode, let's find out why nuclear power and artificial intelligence are a perfect marriage. Hey folks, welcome back to Elon Musk Evolution, where we bring you the most recent news about Elon Musk and his multi-billion dollar companies, space news, and the latest science and technology. Artificial intelligence and nuclear power make the ideal combination. Global power grids will be strained by the AI revolution's ravenous thirst for energy as it progresses. And the only solution is nuclear energy. In a similar vein, AI presents a bright future for increasing nuclear energy output. A recent study indicates that during the last two decades, the U.S. has seen an average annual growth in electricity demand of 1%. According to PG&E, there will be an unprecedented 70% increase in electricity demand during the next 20 years. Similarly, McKinsey projects that by 2050, U.S. demand will have doubled. According to the study, the combined spending of the biggest U.S. electric businesses is expected to reach $1.8 trillion by 2030. What unites D.C. politicians with Silicon Valley entrepreneurs, environmentalists with corporate executives, liberals and conservatives, national security specialists and celebrities? Reliable and clean nuclear energy. There are hardly many things that bring people together in this deeply divided world. However, modern nuclear power that emits no carbon is a particularly noteworthy climate answer. Some of the most significant political and business leaders in the world have expressed support for nuclear energy, including Elon Musk, John Kerry, and Bill Gates. In addition to producing the continuous, reasonably priced carbon-free electricity that is essential for stopping global warming, nuclear power also strengthens regional economies and generates jobs. Even more can be achieved with advanced nuclear designs, which can produce hydrogen, decarbonize heavy industrial processes, and supply carbon-free energy in new and creative ways to areas that currently rely on carbon-emitting energy sources. These advantages go well beyond only electricity. They also apply to fields like space exploration and medical procedures. Nuclear power has been supported for decades by nations, political parties, and business sectors. In this past year, the number of people who strongly support nuclear power has increased even further. The administration is dedicated to promoting nuclear power, as are state and local governments. According to an Associated Press survey, two-thirds of U.S. states believe that nuclear power will help in the country's move away from fossil fuels, and throughout the past year, there has been a noticeable shift in state policy toward nuclear energy. Congress has also shown strong bipartisan support for the industry, which has resulted in genuine promises like the significant investments in nuclear energy included in the bipartisan infrastructure package. According to Representative Ralph Norman, Republican from South Carolina, realizing nuclear power's full potential nationwide will not only protect air quality and mitigate the long-term effects of climate change, but can also help low-income households across the country save on their monthly energy bills. The Biden administration has expressed its bullish support for new nuclear power plants and acknowledge the vital role these plants will play in the transition to renewable energy. The United States regards nuclear energy as a crucial technology in the worldwide endeavor to reduce emissions and ultimately tackle climate change, stated Jennifer Granholm, the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Energy. For decades, we have been supporting the development of SMRs. Democrats and Republicans alike are speaking up and pushing for the advancement of nuclear technologies in an attempt to lower prices, boost dependability, and protect the environment. Congress's support is growing, and business leaders who are at the forefront of technology and investment are also supporting this more and more. Prominent figures who support nuclear energy include Bill Gates and Elon Musk. The only carbon-free energy source available to us that can provide significant amounts of power day and night, year-round, nearly any place on Earth, is nuclear power, said Bill Gates, the founder and chairman of TerraPower, an American nuclear reactor innovation business, and it has been proven to work on a large scale. Elon Musk has declared himself to be pro-nuclear and has openly backed nuclear energy for a number of years. Not just in the United States are significant figures highlighting the role that nuclear technology plays, international groups are realizing that a global concern calls for a global response, a cheap, dependable, carbon-free energy source that can power both our outlying settlements and our major cities. The source can make it all work is nuclear. According to Mark Carney, the UN Special Envoy on Climate Action and Finance, I have never seen a credible energy transition strategy that does not include nuclear. According to celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and non-governmental organizations, we need more nuclear power to achieve net zero emissions and rescue the climate. Do you agree on this matter too? According to Elon Musk, by 2025, artificial intelligence will run out of power in transformers. I've never seen any technology advance faster than this, Elon Musk says. AI and EVs are growing so quickly that supply shortages in transformers and power will occur globally next year. The recent Nobel Peace Prize nominee discussed self-driving cars, humanoid robots, and what Tesla is planning for its next electric vehicle during a dialed-in Q&A to end the Bosch Connected World Conference. However, it was evident that he also wanted to send the strongest possible message to the industry. Start producing as many electrical transformers as you can and start working on clean energy generation. The AI computing coming online appears to be increasing by a factor of 10 every 6 months. Like, obviously, that cannot continue at such a high rate forever, or it'll exceed the mass of the universe, but I've never seen anything like it. The chip rush is bigger than any gold rush that's ever existed. I think we really are at the edge of probably the biggest technology revolution that has ever existed.
The biggest technology revolution that has ever existed? The words from Elon Musk on his podcast, The Elon Musk Evolution. Come back when TUC Radio returns for the questions raised by all who warned of the dangers of uranium mining, left behind toxic waste, the radioactive byproducts from making nuclear fuel, the risks from reactor accidents, the fact that so far only one permanent repository for nuclear waste is under construction in this world. It's in Finland and needs to last 100,000 years. That's how long the waste from nuclear power plants will remain toxic to life. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. My name is Maria Glodden. Thank you for listening.